You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Yesterday, in an open letter, Governor Walker said he would sign legislation that would ban abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy, and he expects a bill to land on his desk in the current session.
In addition to supporting abortion restrictions in Wisconsin, Governor Walker also said he'd support similar laws on the federal level. It's catching national attention as political onlookers keep tabs on Walker's possible presidential bid.
Now that the governor's position is known, how long until abortion legislation is introduced in the legislature? And for that, we turn to State Representative Andre Jacques of DePere. Representative Jacques says he's currently working on the abortion legislation that Governor Walker was likely referring to. Representative Jacques, thanks for joining us.
Well, good afternoon, Veronica. I'd actually like to correct you right off the bat. I think I've indicated that it's not actually legislation that I am drafting or am involved in the drafting of. I am aware that it is being drafted by my colleagues, and I certainly am supportive of it and certainly have checked into it, so I'm happy to talk about it.
Well, let's talk about that legislation that seems likely to come. You say you are not involved in the drafting of it. I apologize for that error, but
no problem.
What do you think the governor is looking to clarify here in terms of his position on abortion?
Well, certainly the governor is pro-life, and I certainly appreciate that myself, and I have been very involved legislatively in similar initiatives in the past. I think it's important to realize that what we're talking about is dealing with pain-capable unborn children and really moving us into the 21st century where we have new and substantial medical evidence that shows us that unborn babies can feel pain. And so, you know, the 20 weeks, I think, is sometimes used in approximation, but it's very important to see that the science is going to move us in that direction in terms of the evidence showing that unborn children are capable of feeling pain at 20 weeks post-fertilization, if not earlier. So I believe the legislation, as I understand it, is going to state that if the Department of Health Services finds that unborn children can feel pain at an earlier point in development, then that age could be earlier than 20 weeks.
Now, the governor told Fox News Sunday that previous abortion legislation he signed left the ultimate decision between a woman and her doctor. Does this kind of bill take that away?
I don't believe so. You know, this is something where I think there are any number of protections that the governor has signed into law in terms of regulations, and you look at some of the things that we've worked on previously regarding hospital admitting privileges, or, you know, I think that the governor has a strong track record of being pro-life, and I think that he certainly would agree with that and has stated that, and, you know, I, you know, don't know that there's anything to my mind that has really changed in his approach to this issue, and I've known him for many years.
Should there be any exceptions to the restrictions in cases like these, for example, in cases of rape and incest or a mother's health?
Well, again, in those situations, what we have to focus on is, can the child feel pain? And in all those circumstances, they certainly are, and certainly you don't want the child to be punished for the actions of one of the parents, and you know, certainly we don't do that in our criminal justice system. I think that, you know, and certainly I have I've worked very strongly with the Coalition Against Sexual Assault and Coalition Against Domestic Violence on championing a number of their issues, and certainly feel very strongly that anybody who commits an act of violence should be immediately held accountable and for that. But this is a situation where, you know, I think in many cases there are even false exceptions in the situation where, under Wisconsin statutes, if you actually take a look at the way our statutes are constructed, it's not actually considered an abortion if it is not intended to be so. So any sort of a medical procedure or life-sustaining treatment which has the unintended secondary consequence of ending the life of the child is not considered an abortion under several of the definitions that are found in state statute.
There are a lot of budget issues facing Wisconsin right now, lots of things that are being discussed in the governor's budget, potential legislation coming down the pike. Why do you think the governor is choosing to talk about abortion and his willingness to move forward with something like this right now?
Well, you know, I'm not going to speculate on that or any number of the things that the governor has brought forward. Certainly, There are so many components to the state budget, and you know, certainly I'm appreciative of those areas where the governor has indicated or brought forward language that I have introduced as standalone bills in the past that is going to have a helpful fiscal effect for the state. And there are certainly a number of areas where I'll seek improvements throughout the process, and that always happens. But as far as, you know, any particular announcement by the governor, he's certainly asked about his position on any number of pieces of legislation almost continuously. And I've always taken the approach that we can walk and chew gum at the same time. So it is something where, you know, it's not as if, you know, we are dealing with these issues in a vacuum. There are certainly many different items that are on the agenda that are being discussed all the time.
Would you support an abortion ban similar to the one the governor is talking about if the mother's health were at risk, maybe her life?
Well, again, I don't feel that such an exception is necessary. Certainly we've seen that a health exception in particular is very dangerous because there really is no, you know, nothing specific to that. It's a loophole big enough to drive a truck through. And there have been several abortionists who have certified that they will always be able to say that a woman's health is endangered in order to, you know, procure an abortion for her. So that's something that there's been testimony in Congress on. So, and if you look at the particular piece of legislation that we're talking about, which again, several other states have already brought forward, there is very strong national support, and I think state support as well. You know, depending on exactly how the question is phrased, between you know, anywhere north of 50% to close to 65% of people who would support that legislation, not including those who are undecided. So, you know, again, if you look at anything called the life of the mother exception is in many ways throughout the movement considered a false exception because, again, there are those, including past the surgeon generals, who have indicated that abortion is never necessary to save the life of the mother. In fact, an abortion is going to increase jeopardy to the mother's health. As well as those that will, as I did earlier, point out that in the medical context and even in the religious context, it's not considered an abortion to have a legitimate medical procedure meant to save the life or even, in many cases, improve the health. So for instance, a situation where there might be cancer treatment or an ectopic pregnancy, any of those common exceptions that people might bring up, those aren't actually considered exceptions in the sense that anything would actually even need to be written in. I mean, it's almost more of a redundancy within the law because it's not considered an abortion, at least for reporting purposes, if it's something where the actual abortion itself, or it's not really an abortion, but the death of the unborn child results from the unintentional consequence of a legitimate medical procedure.
Now, the governor has supported tweaks to this, including doctors having admitting privileges and requiring an ultrasound, and ran into some legal blocks on some of that. Are you expecting similar issues with legislation like this?
Well, I think just in general, any legislation that we passed in Madison that isn't nearly unanimous, and even for some that almost are, we just automatically assume that there are going to be some legal challenges by those who are opposed to the legislation. So I would certainly expect that will happen. There's been what I consider to be venue shopping in our court system, really looking for favorable judges in this case, or the case that you just cited. It was the most recent federal judge in the state appointed by President Obama. So certainly his initial ruling was not at all surprising. And we've seen that in other jurisdictions as well. But this is something that I believe is in effect in 9 of the 10 states that it has passed. In the one situation where it has not, it has no effect at all to the substance of the, it's not related to the substance of the bill. The reason why the legislation is not in effect, it's dealing with, I believe, a situation where The bill was trying to make be made retroactive, which just in general, I will tell you, you know, we work on any number of pieces of legislation. Particularly, I've done quite a bit in the criminal justice system relating to, and as past chair of the Public Safety Committee for the Assembly, there's a temptation when you see a situation that is unfortunate in state law that can be remedied by changing the criminal justice situation, just as we have seen earlier this year dealing with the upskirting laws that many states are currently addressing, to make those laws retroactive. And legally, you just can't do that. You have to, for the most part, make that prospective. So, again, I don't even see in that state it necessarily being a significant situation from the standpoint of many times bills are severable to the point that something like a retroactivity clause cannot be considered. But, you know, certainly I think that this is constitutional and something that, you know, has been upheld, will be upheld as a legitimate regulation under the Constitution.
Representative Jacques, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Veronica.
That was Andre Jacques, a Republican state representative from De Pere, talking about a proposed bill he supports which would ban abortions for most women after 20 weeks in pregnancy.
Coming up, we get a response from Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. The group says they would challenge this legislation in court if it passes.
We're continuing our conversation about possible abortion restrictions in Wisconsin. We just heard from State Representative Andre Jacques, who supports legislation that would ban abortions for most women after 20 weeks of pregnancy.
Now we hear from Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. The group says it would oppose these restrictions in court.
Nicole Safar is with us now. She's the Public Policy Director at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Nicole, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
So first of all, did you have any indication that legislation aimed at restricting abortion was on the way?
Yes. We have seen a lot of abortion restrictions in Wisconsin over the last 4 years, and certainly it is well known that Governor Walker, one of his priorities is to make abortion illegal in our state.
And where do you stand on the coming legislation based on what's out there so far? We've heard this 20 weeks number, but the exact wording and technicalities, that's not known.
Well, at Planned Parenthood, we really strive every day to make sure that our patients receive high-quality, compassionate, and non-judgmental care. Abortion is a deeply, deeply personal issue, and it's often a complex decision for a woman and her family. We know that when life's most trying and important decisions happen, that women and their families are the ones who know what's best, and politicians don't. So we would adamantly oppose a restriction that bans abortion and takes a medical decision away from a woman, her doctor, and her family.
Now, Governor Walker said in his open letter that he wants to, and this is a quote, protect both mother and child. And to zoom in on the mother aspect of this, Representative Jacques indicated that looking at, you know, issues of making exceptions for a mother in case of threatened health, it was a pretty big loophole and one that he wasn't prepared to say he would, you know, grant. What would you say to that?
Well, again, at Planned Parenthood, patient safety is our number one priority. Every day, our doctors and nurses are working to provide high quality, compassionate, safe care to women in Wisconsin. And it really is something that medical experts know the best about. Medical experts like the American Medical Association and the American Congress of Obstetricians and Gynecologists oppose bills like this, and they're concerned with women's safety. Obviously, they're the ones who make the recommendations to OBs all across the country on what the best standards of practice are. So I really defer to these medical experts, and what they say is abortion bans like the one Representative Jacques supports really threaten women's health. They force women to travel, sometimes states away, to places where they can get the care. And we have to remember, this is making a medical procedure illegal. This is putting criminal penalties on a physician, preventing them from providing what in some cases is needed care. And that really chills a doctor's ability to provide appropriate individualized care for each patient.
In his letter, Governor Walker also highlighted how he defunded Planned Parenthood. How has that impacted your organization so far?
Yeah, the defunding has been a big blow to Planned Parenthood. We lost state funding in 8 of our rural health centers, and since 2012, we have unfortunately had to close 5 of those health centers. So there are over 3,000 women in the state of Wisconsin in places like Fond du Lac and Beaver Dam and Chippewa Falls that no longer have a community-based healthcare center to go for cancer screenings and birth control. And that is really untenable, and we can't imagine why. Well, we know that not everybody is going to agree on abortion. It's just unbelievable that we can't agree that all women should have high quality, affordable access to cancer screenings in their town.
And turning back again to this particular proposed piece of legislation, it hasn't even been proposed yet, it's being written, but presuming that abortion legislation, like we've been discussing, gets passed and gets signed, what impact would that have on women here in Wisconsin?
Well, the first impact that it would have is that a woman who is grappling with this decision, who might find out at 20 weeks into her pregnancy that her health is severely at risk, that her blood pressure is so high that continuing the pregnancy really threatens her life, she wouldn't have any medical options in Wisconsin. She would have to go to Chicago or Minneapolis or somewhere else, and she'd be forced to travel in that sort of risky health situation. And again, that's just, even if it's only 20 women or 100 women, because the vast, vast majority of abortions in Wisconsin do happen well before 20 weeks, but even if it is just a small number of women, that devastating impact is too much, I think, for our state legislature to put on the women in this state.
Now, looking at the political side of this for just a moment, you were quoted in the media as saying that the governor took a public position on abortion as a distraction from the budget. But some Republicans have said that they've wanted this kind of legislation for a while. Does that change your thinking here?
You know, I think that this has certainly been on the priority list for a while. As I alluded to earlier, there have been many abortion restrictions passed in the last 4 years. And this is, you know, one of the sort of last big ones, I think, that has been on their agenda. But with everything else that's happening with all of the discussion in the extraordinary session about taking workers' voices away from the negotiating table, with the cuts to the big cuts to the UW system and K-12, all of this stuff that's happening, it seems, I think, at the very least, unusual to be adding a whole other big issue into the discussion when we're really grappling in this state with some tough things.
Now, we're early into the governor's term here. Do you expect to see other types of legislation affecting reproductive issues coming up, especially given some of the Republican majorities in the legislature?
Absolutely. I mean, we are always on watch to see what else can happen. The reality is that Planned Parenthood and access to women's health care, not just abortion services, but sort of the full range of reproductive health services, has been a huge target for Governor Walker and the Republican leadership, and they use it to score political points. They really have no qualms putting women's health into the political realm, and it's something that you know, we've seen happen time and time again. So I do expect more. But I expect that the voters in the state and the constituents all across the state believe in the values that Planned Parenthood believes in, most of them. And we can agree that while abortion maybe isn't, we wouldn't all make the same decision about abortion, that women are the ones to know what's best for them and their families.
And Nicole, just very briefly, what sort of legal challenge would you expect to see to legislation like this?
You know, it's hard to say without having the exact language and knowing how the law is going to play out. I think it's really hard to know. But again, I think the access issue is what's most important, and making sure that when a woman has to make a difficult medical decision, she gets all of the information, she has all of the options laid out by her physician, and really it comes down to what she feels is best.
Nicole, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Nicole Safar, Public Policy Director at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. We also talked with State Representative Andre Jacques, who will be supporting a bill that restricts abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy.